Well, Vienna Baptist Church, what a joy and an honor to be with you today. Austin, thank you for the invitation to join with you. Austin, thank you for your leadership. It's always good to be with family and friends and even fellow Texans. And in many ways, being here with you this morning feels like being with family and friends. So many to thank, but Paul, certainly you are at the top of that list, and Judy, and to all of you here at Vienna Baptist Church, thank you for partnering with us as a global impact church. Thank you for partnering with the Baptist World Alliance to seek to impact the world, to impact many around the world. And may the Lord continue to journey with you under His vision and His provision. This is who we are at the Baptist World Alliance. Our mission statement is networking the Baptist family to impact the world for Christ. And I pray that we will remain centered around Jesus Christ and focused on impacting in His name. Now, as you probably know, today the Baptist movement is a truly global movement. There are BWA Baptists in 125 countries and territories with approximately 47 million Baptists. For example, did you know that there are 9 Baptist churches in Syria? About this time last year, I was part of an effort that brought 70 Christian leaders, most of whom were Baptists, from Syria into Lebanon for a time of a church leadership conference. And one of those leaders who came down was a woman named Haya. Haya is a mother of 4. And she shared how a radicalized group swept into her community one winter, and she described kind of the horror of being captured with her family and being forced into the basement of their apartment building, where a number of individuals were killed on the spot, where some of the women were forced to strip down naked and run through the cold. And Haya and her family survived this ordeal and then were expelled with other survivors into the wintry cold and winds of that community, and she and her family found a small apartment that had been abandoned that they were able to stay in. She said, after being there for 2 weeks, we were down to rationing the food, 1 olive per person per day. So she said, we decided to walk to the capital of Syria. It took us 7 hours to walk there. Our feet so cold, they were sticking to the ground. And scarred by this shocking experience, a spiritual longing for help and understanding sent this family to one of those Baptist churches. And as Haya described, sitting across that breakfast table about this time last year, she looked up and she said, "Even though I lost everything, I gained Jesus Christ." Would you continue to commit to pray for the 9 Baptist churches in Syria and for leaders like Haya who are serving there with a kingdom vision? Now, almost everyone in this room is familiar with the Baptist World Alliance, or at least has heard that name. Our headquarters are just down the road, or just up the road, in Falls Church, Virginia. And if you haven't been by the headquarters in a while, please come and stop by. We'd love to visit with you. Together at the Baptist World Alliance, we seek to promote worship, fellowship, and unity among Baptists, to lead in mission and evangelism, to respond to human need, to defend human rights and justice, and to advance relevant theological reflection. For example, every year we give out an evangelism grant that goes to a local church somewhere around the world who can use that small grant, usually less than $5,000, but to have a meaningful missional witness in their language, in their culture, by people who understand those things. And so last year, one of those grants went to the Baptist Convention in Nepal, who identified 5 villages that had no Christians in them whatsoever. And over the last year, they've been using that small BWA grant to reach out to that church. This summer, they sent in their first 6-month report, and in the first 6 months, they had 107 salvations. Now, that is remarkable in and of itself, but all the more so because about 3 years ago, Nepal changed their constitution, making it illegal for you to convert. 107 salvations in 5 unreached villages in a context of illegal conversion, all for less than $5,000. This is your Baptist World Alliance at work. And I don't know about you, but the passion for the Great Commission and the passion for Jesus Christ still makes me excited to think about 107 new believers in a place like Nepal. I think about a man I met last year in Somalia. I was there visiting an underground network of churches, and one of the church leaders we met was named Abdullahi. When Abdullahi was a 9-year-old boy in Somalia, he had a dream, and in that dream, a sound flooded his mind, and he heard a voice that he had never heard before. A voice spoke to him in that vision and said, "Follow me. My name is Jesus." And he awoke, and he immediately gave his life to Jesus, but it took him 6 years before he was able to find a Bible. Unfortunately, his family then found him studying that Bible and turned him over to the authorities. And at the age of 15, he was incarcerated for his faith for 6 months. And I asked him, I said, "Abdullahi, what is it like to be a teenager in a prison in Somalia, incarcerated for your belief in Jesus Christ?" And he just kind of shook his head and he said, "You know, I don't really like to remember those times. I don't really like to describe those times. They're very painful. They were filled with beating and torture." And I said, I understand. I said, "Was there any Bible verse that kept you firmly committed when you were facing those kinds of very real challenges?" And he said, "Yes, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, where Jesus says, 'I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" And he said, "Even as they were torturing and as they were beating me, I was proclaiming that verse that Jesus was with me and that he would be with me." And he said, "Two of those who were torturing me came to me secretly at night in that prison and gave their life to Jesus Christ." If you have your Bible and you haven't opened it yet to Zephaniah chapter 3, would you do so? I'm so glad you printed the reading, the page number in our order of worship today. If you can find Zephaniah 3 on your own, bonus points, right? You can sit on the front row for the Living Nativity tonight, right? That's your bonus. Now, the lectionary is a wonderful tool. And Austin, can I just tell you how excited I was to hear that today's reading came from Zephaniah? Because like you and all Texas Baptist preachers, we have lots of sermons on Zephaniah that are just ready to be preached. But it's a great little book. It's part of a 12-book grouping at the end of the Old Testament, known today as the Minor Prophets. Minor not because of their contents, but minor because of their length, meaning short. Zephaniah is only 3 short chapters. The prophet's ministry probably occurred during the years of 640 to 630 BCE, during the early part of the reign of King Josiah. And the book really alternates between 2 key themes: the imminent judgment of those who refuse the ways of God, but hope. Hope and trust in a God who will ultimately bring about his rescue and restoration. And it's almost as if Zephaniah, when you read through all 3 chapters, wants to shock the citizens of Judah out of their complacency and into obedience with the Lord. In particular, Zephaniah is concerned with the sins he names of false worship, vanity, complacency, pride, rebellion, self-sufficiency, greed, and obstinate unbelief. And because of these sins and others, the Lord is going to bring his judgment. That, quote, "day of the Lord," a phrase which appears 7 times in the book of Zephaniah, more in the prophet of Zephaniah than any other prophet in the Old Testament. That, quote, "day of the Lord" will be a time of terrible judgment and difficulty. But ultimately, those who remain faithful to God will find hope and deliverance. They will experience a time of rescue. And that is the backdrop of these last 2 verses of this book. The verses I would like for us to focus on this morning, beginning in verse number 19 of chapter 3. "At that time I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Now, in these two verses, you can hear these two themes at work. Yes, there has been difficulty and challenge, but I, the Lord, says, I will rescue you, restore you, give you honor and praise. And ultimately, this passage is read during Advent, for it finds its ultimate expression in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself echoes these themes, such as in Luke chapter 4, as the one who addresses oppression, rescues the lame, and gathers those who have been scattered. And here's the question for us this morning. What if we were to join Jesus in his mission to address oppression and to gather believers from all the nations? Verse 19, I will deal with, I will address, yes, I will even rescue those who face oppression. Is there any question that so many around the world today face oppression? That even during this Christmas season, that they need a word from the church that says, God sees you and we see you. And a time of rescue from oppression and injustice is on its way. We know poverty does not discriminate, though discrimination does influence poverty. Many face food insecurity and children who go hungry and men and women without a place to live. Even here in the United States and around our borders, there are many injustices. What shall we say at the international level? With some 60 million refugees in the world today, as we gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who himself experienced a refugee situation. What should we say at a time when there are more refugees in 2018 than at any other point since World War II? With four declared famines this year, there are more facing famine today than at any other point since World War II. The specter of genocide continues to haunt, most notably in the declared genocide against Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities in Iraq. Today, let us also worry about what is unfolding against Rohingya Muslims, where more than 700,000 have fled to Bangladesh, and what the United Nations is calling the most persecuted people in the world at this moment, and what a U.S. House of Representatives resolution this very week called genocide. In Yemen, we are facing the largest cholera outbreak in the history of the world. And did you see the New York Times piece from 2 weeks ago that noted that 85,000 children have been killed in Yemen in the last 3 years, and where millions today are on the brink of starvation? In our news, war and rumors of war continue to abound every day. Scholars tell us that there are 25 million people enslaved today. Illegal weapons and arms continue to surge. There are still far too many who die every day from diseases for which there is a cure and medication for which there is alleviation. There are still far too many without access to clean water who face discrimination, marginalization, racism, torture, and unjust imprisonment. How will we respond for Baptists in Venezuela, where the average basic salary has fallen to $6 per month? How will we respond for Baptists in Bolivia, who earlier this year, I'd been in the office for about 10 days, when new legislation came out that would make bringing a friend with you to church a criminal offense punishable by 5 to 10 years in prison? How will we respond for Baptists in Nicaragua, where since the start of civil unrest there in April, 900 Baptist families have lost their jobs, their business, their incomes, and have no way to provide for themselves? How will we respond for the 25 Baptists who've been arrested in Russia over the last 24 months for sharing their faith and find an equivalency of 2 weeks of their salary? How will we respond for Baptists in Sudan, where this last year the government bulldozed to destruction the Baptist church on the edge of the capital city? Or for those in the Nuba Mountains, Christian and non-Christian alike, where bombs fall in the midst of international silence? How will we respond to the widow of Gabriel Ole, who earlier this year sent her 66-year-old husband out for what she thought would be a day trip, a deacon in his Baptist church, going out into the rural area to see if their pastoral training was sticking when his car was targeted and he was beaten to death, leaving seven young daughters behind to fend for themselves, two who were in university. The mother asked, "How shall we send our daughters to school?" So the BWA said, "You enroll them. We'll make sure that they're able to go to school." How will we respond for the elder in Nigeria who stood and with tears in his eyes begged me, "Pray for us. We are surviving by eating grass." How will we respond to the rising violence in the middle belt of Nigeria, where the Christian Association of Nigeria, who's led by a Baptist, says that in this year, in 2018 alone, more than 6,000 people have been killed. How will we respond to Baptists in northeastern Myanmar, where in September, an ethnic group kidnapped 92 mostly Baptist pastors and 41 Baptist ministerial students and closed 52 churches? I called the leader of that area and he told me on the phone, quote, "The families are not allowed to worship, to pray, or to read the Bible. They have been told that they are no longer allowed to worship Jesus. And if the people are seen worshiping even in their home, then they will be put in jail for 3 years. Or what about in Ukraine? 8 weeks ago, I was on the border of the conflict in eastern Ukraine. We stood half a mile from the conflict line, staring across fields laced with landmines. We drove through villages impacted by violence, even the very week that the UN Security Council was voting to reject efforts to send the peacekeepers. We heard the cry of the elderly woman who stood just steps away from a bomb shelter pleading, 'This winter,' she asked, 'should I buy coal to heat my home or food to eat? Because I can only afford one.' We helped bring 10 pastors who are living in the temporarily occupied territories over into Ukraine, where one of them shared these words I cannot get out of my mind. He said, quote, 'The persecution we are facing today is worse than anything we faced during the times of the communist Soviet Union. Rescue in a time of oppression. Could we be a voice for hope and a tool for action for all those who face oppression, scattering, and difficulty? You can make a difference. You can be like Baptists in Bulgaria, who this Sunday morning are organizing their sixth public rally on behalf of religious freedom, not just for Baptists, but for all. Did you see that just before Thanksgiving, the Bulgarian parliament suddenly passed a new law that said that only those who have received official government-approved training will be allowed to offer a worship service, and only those who will be allowed to receive official government-approved training are those who belong to the Orthodox Christian faith or to Islam. And just like that, with a stroke of a pen, Catholics, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, Jews, Buddhists, and 130 Baptist churches were on the verge of being written out of legality. And so our Baptist brothers and sisters there began to gather together. We had 10 days to mobilize on behalf of their support. They began to gather. They began to publicly rally. Many of us at the BWA and around the world began to advocate on their behalf. And a bill which was supported by both the majority and minority parties was suddenly placed on hold. And today, 130 Baptist churches are able to still worship in freedom because people like you and I use the circles of influence that we have here and in places around the world on behalf of religious freedom for all. You can be like an elder retired woman I met in Canada a year ago. I was at a conference, speaking at a Baptist conference in far eastern Canada, and a woman came up to me at the end and she said, "I was really moved by what you said, but what can I do? I'm a full-time caregiver for my husband. I can barely ever even leave my home. What can I do?" And I said, "Well, you can write letters. And I said, here are two Baptist pastors. Well, one was a pastor, one was a youth minister. And there's two Baptist ministers who are incarcerated for their faith in Myanmar. Here's the address. Why don't you write them? Every week, write them and let them know that you're praying for them. And let the prison where they're being held know that the world is watching. Why don't you write to your representative in Canada and ask for the Canadian government to raise the issue of these two Baptist pastors who are incarcerated for the convictions of their conscience? She said, well, I can write, and I can pray, and I can get other people in my church to write. And about 6 months after that exchange, she sends me an email. She says, I want to copy you on an email sent to me by my Canadian elected representative, who writes to the effect, thank you for sending us so many letters about these two pastors who are incarcerated in Myanmar. And I want you to know that I myself have now written to the Foreign Minister of Canada on our letterhead asking that the Canadian government take up this issue with the country of Myanmar. And I want you to know that in April of this year, these two Baptist ministers were suddenly and unexplainably released 2 years ahead of their schedule. God bless retired women in Canada who said, I may not be able to get out, but I can write. You can make a difference. In the midst of oppression, this passage is a reminder that the Lord is a God of rescue. Yes, in the oppression and the difficulties and injustices that we may face. And yes, in the oppression and the injustice and the difficulties that so many around the world face. And for 113 years, the BWA has chosen to respond with hope and engagement. And I'm asking, will you continue to join with us in responding to these situations around the world with hope and engagement? Rescue in a time of oppression. Which brings us to one second and final primary emphasis found in this passage of study this morning. Verse number 20. At that time I will gather you, at that time I will bring you home, and I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. Among all the peoples of the earth. There is a consistent theme found throughout the scriptures that God intends for his people to be a witness for him among all the peoples of the earth. In the New Testament, this, of course, finds one of its fullest expressions in Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, where we are charged to make disciples among all the peoples of the world. But this is also found throughout the Old Testament, both the way that the Hebrew people are to follow him and the way in which the Lord is going to rescue the Hebrew people to respond, to restore, to give honor and praise. It's not meant just for the good of the people, though it is that, but it is also meant to be a witness to all the other peoples of the earth. In the Old Testament, this finds one of its fullest expressions in Genesis chapter 12. In the calling of Abraham, which reads in part verse number 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, this same sentiment is found here in Zephaniah. Yes, I will bless you. Yes, I will restore you. Yes, I will give you praise and honor. I will rescue you. But it's not just for you. It's part of a missional witness. You are blessed in order to be a blessing. To whom? To all the peoples of the earth. You are rescued in order to be a rescuer. To whom? To all the peoples of the earth. Blessed to be a blessing, rescued in a time of oppression, that you and I may have our own missional witness. To whom? To all the peoples of the earth. And certainly that missional begins with each and every one of us. And so we ask yet again this morning, do we each have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And friends, perhaps if you are visiting today and you are not certain if you have a direct and personal relationship with God, I encourage you to come and visit with myself or with Austin or many of those who are around, that we may share with you the hope we have found in Jesus Christ. And friends, if you already know Jesus, may I encourage you to once again this Christmas season share it again. perhaps even tonight, to bring someone with you to this church to experience the joy of the living nativity. And the wonderful truth is that so many Baptists around the world remain passionately committed to sharing the hope they have found in Jesus Christ. Of course, not all. And of course, the way that they share that hope and joy is not experienced in the same way in every place. But did you know that BWA Baptists are living in the midst of their greatest global revival? Did you know that in the last 400 years of Baptist life, the last 25 years have seen the greatest global expansion than at any other point in the previous 375 years? Did you know that in the last 25 years, at a global level, the Baptist movement has grown 27%? But of course, that's different region by region. In the last 25 years, BWA Baptists have experienced a 34% decline in North America and only a 1% growth in Europe. Is anybody shocked to hear that Baptists in Europe and North America are struggling? But Baptists in the Caribbean, in the last 25 years, have grown 76%. In Asia, 122%. In Latin America, 193%. And Baptists in Africa in the last 25 years have experienced an 800% growth. For example, Bangladesh, 186%. Brazil, 175%. Chile, 124%. Colombia, 68%. Haiti, 172%. India, 140%. Thailand, 154%. Baptists are living in the age of the greatest global and expansion of the Baptist movement that we've ever known, even if we don't always feel it here. So let us celebrate what the Lord is doing around the world. Let us continue to ask Him to renew that kind of growth right here and in all places around the world. Let us embrace the call to be a witness among all the peoples of the earth. For missions, in the end, is less about what we can do and less about the glory of God. Rescue in a time of oppression. In order that we may be a witness among all the peoples of the earth, friends, would you and I, this Christmas season, continue to commit ourselves to justice and to evangelism? And let us do so in relationship and in partnership. Thank you for being a BWA Global Impact Church. And let us press for even more. And one way you can do so is this. Would you consider now marking your calendar and joining us in 18 months for the next major BWA World Congress in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, July 2020. 4,000 Baptists from all around the world will have children stream, youth streams, and the rest of us streams. 4,000 Baptists from all around the world, 5 main speakers, each speaker from a different continent, come to Rio de Janeiro in July 2020 and experience a global Baptist family while serving a local community and mission. Vienna Baptist, thank you. I believe in you, but more importantly, God believes in you. The world needs you to continue to live with the Advent hope of Jesus Christ for justice and for His name. Let us pray. Father, would you again, for those all around the world who are facing oppression and injustice, would you be a God of rescue? And would you help us, Lord, when we hear these kinds of stories, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, but let us be sparked with the creative Holy Spirit imagination to know the role that we can play right here and right now as a tool of rescue for your glory. And for all those around the world who are seeing wonderful evangelistic growth, we pray for even more. And for all those places around the world which do not yet have an opportunity to experience a relationship with you, Jesus Christ, we pray, send us again, renew us again. Father, we thank you for Vienna Baptist, for their commitment to be a global impact church, for their commitment to be a voice for justice, for their commitment to support sustainability, for their commitment to support an ongoing belief in Jesus Christ as a hope of the world. Would you bless them? Would you continue to multiply through them that they may have an impact here and around the world? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.